And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this preview edition as the Gophers attempt to start 5-0 for the first time in 15 years. The last time Minnesota started 5-0 for a season was the year 2004, Luke. 2004. So before we get into this Illinois preview, Luke, do you want to give the folks a word from our sponsor?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about the Goal Line Club's game preview events. These happen on Fridays. They happen at Jack's Cafe in Northeast. There's free parking. If you want to participate in those, do that on goalineclub.org. If you want to save $5 and you are not a member of the Goal Line Club, you can use for the Illinois Hurry Up. If, hopefully you're listening to this before they've closed the sign up, but Lovey 5 for the Illinois pregame, and for the Nebraska pregame coming up a week from this coming weekend, it is Popcorn 5 that'll get you in. Again, for these previews, the thing to note is this is a VIP-like experience. This might be better access than Mr. Ryan Burns has. There'll be a coach there breaking down some film. There will be a alumni there. I think I heard Don Barber is going to be there for this one on Thursday coming up. We're recording this on Wednesday night, October 2nd. So for those trying to place themselves in time and space, you're welcome. And yeah, again, Lovey 5 and Popcorn 5 for the respective games with Illinois and Nebraska. Hope to see you out there.
Yeah, it's they're trying to do some different things at the Goal Line Club to try and inject some younger blood in there. And I know we've had some fantastic discussions on Gopher Illustrated about what they're trying to do with some actual constructive and good input for those guys. So I know that they greatly appreciate it as they're trying to get a little bit younger out there. And I know that for those of you, whether you're young or old or somewhere in between, Luke and I will be out there on Saturday at the tailgate there at Williams Arena. If you want to come out and have a cold beverage with us, I think Luke will be there at 12:15, 12:30, somewhere around there.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I mean, it'll depend on how I can get in, but yeah, I'll be there. And if you want to bring a piece of paper with a complicated name, I will do my best to pronounce it for you.
I just love that this is such a bit now at this point, but that's credit to our listeners, Luke. They know what the bit is. They like to run with it, and we greatly appreciate them for it.
All right, so let's get into this game against Illinois. Illinois comes into the season 2-2. I guess let's get to injuries first, Ryan. The Gophers, I think, came out relatively unscathed. I'll be honest, I haven't been paying too much attention this week as to, you know, depth chart stuff. If there are guys injured, I didn't get a chance to hear PJ's press conference. So I, like many of our listeners, am curious to hear what you know.
Well, the biggest injury news is Mo Ibrahim, where he didn't play. Well, Fleck says he didn't play against Purdue, which would be incorrect because I remember gifting the Tyler Johnson touchdown right before the end of the first half. Mo Ibrahim was the one on the field. So I'm not entirely sure how injured he is. He's obviously injured enough that he didn't factor into the running back rotation last week. And from what I asked Fleck, you know, he said he's doing a lot better. He should factor in more in this weekend. But it was really funny to me that Fleck's like, but remember, I really don't handle the running back rotations. PJ, if you don't handle the personnel on this team, what exactly are we doing here? So I think he's just trying to make a larger point that running back coach Kenny Burns determines that, offensive coordinator Kirk Shiraka oversees that, and Fleck ultimately just trusts his coaches. But Mo Ibrahim should be back. We didn't see him against Georgia Southern with an undisclosed injury. We then had the bye week, and then he played one snap last week. So this undisclosed injury that Fleck said after the Georgia Southern game should have had him back for the Purdue game. I mean, take what you will from the injuries, but if Mo Ibrahim is back, you're going to see an uptick, I think, with both Ibrahim snaps and Shannon Brooks' snaps. You look at Rodney Smith on the day, 22 carries for over 5 yards a carry against Purdue. That's great, but I still think you're going to see, I'm not sure Rodney's going to get 20 touches again this week. I'd be very surprised if he does because they want to get Shannon more involved. He obviously was a little bit amped up. We talked about that on the Breakdown podcast where wasn't exactly running with his eyes up. And then with Ibrahim's healthy, he's also going to demand touches as well. But that's really the biggest injury news to note. Now, I still think that Carter Coughlin is more injured than anyone's talking about, a.k.a. the Gopher coaching staff. And I think just the snaps reflect that. If you go back and you watch that Purdue game again, you know, trying to relive the glory that was a 21-for-22 performance for, you know, Big Ten passing history. Coughlin wasn't in there on maybe more than 55-60% of snaps, if that. Maybe it's even closer to 50, which if Carter Coughlin is fully healthy, he deserves to be out there at 70-75% clip, especially on passing downs. Now, he was out there on passing downs. We talked about how he was getting hooked and held and all of those things in between, but I still think he's a little bit more injured than anyone's letting on. And that's where I was talking with Andy Greeter from the Pioneer Press after the game. And I asked him, you know, I wasn't there in at Purdue. Did you talk to Coughlin? He was like, yeah, Carter said, you know, this is the best he's felt all year. Well, the question is, you know, he was already injured in fall camp. He re-injured it in the opening game. So is the best he's felt all year, does that mean he was performing at 60-70% in the non-conference and now he's at 75-80%? I'm not entirely sure, but I think injury-wise, Minnesota, knock on wood here, remains pretty unscathed. I know that Benjamin St. Juice went out with that shoulder injury. He did return to that game. He's been practicing. We talked to Joe Rossi today. He's very excited about him. If you want to read Rossi's full quotes, including going detail by detail through the Benjamin St. Juice recruitment and how he had to pull over on the side of the road when he heard the news to get in contact with the kid. I think it's a pretty interesting story myself. You can head on over to GopherIllustrated.com, Luke. And do you know, if you are not a member yet, Luke, how much is it to join Gopher Illustrated?
I think literally and figuratively, it's probably about 100 pennies.
100 pennies, 10 dimes, or 20 nickels for your first month and a 7-day free trial, along with the fact that, you know, we've had these names. It's going to be a busy recruiting weekend for Minnesota. I just confirmed 2 more 4-stars are going to be on campus. You'll be very familiar with their names. We also have a 2021 kid from Illinois coming up who's got an offer and an interesting visitor from Georgia, amongst other guys that are going to be up here this weekend. Minnesota's also going to have 2 coaches on the road on Friday night at Minnesota high schools. So if you want all that juicy recruiting info that I'm not going to give out for free on this podcast, it's a 7-day free trial at GI. I know a lot of you have shown a lot of interest in GI. The page views reflect that, and we greatly appreciate that. But if you want to get behind the paywall and interact, what I think, Luke, that we talked about, I think this message board has come such a long way in the last year with just self-policing itself, good constructive conversation. And even if it's negative for the most part, it's getting much, much better and much, much further on track. And so if you want to have a great discussion that you can't have with any of your coworkers or any of your friends about Gopher football or Gopher basketball, I think it would be a great place to come out and check out.
Yeah, I mean, we get some good feedback on the podcast, and other people are welcome to send us feedback, you know, whether it be on Twitter or whatever. We appreciate that. The only way we're going to, you know, meet the needs that you have is this, if we hear about it. So don't hesitate. We got really good feedback on the last episode on the message board. So, you know, let people, like, let us know what you think. And if it's a terrible idea, it will be considered and then maybe thrown into the trash. But at a minimum, we're going to read it and we're going to take it in and actually digest it and figure out what we're going to do with it. So, but let's actually talk maybe any other depth chart stuff that you want to hit on. I mean, at this point, the depth chart is still kind of worthless, right? Like,
yeah. The only big change this week was that John Michael Schmidt, the Gophers center that came in and mixed in a little bit during the Purdue game. He's now listed as Orr at center, left guard, right guard, which, yes and no. Like, yes, he would probably be the backup to the interior, but in that same breath, he's not. And what I mean by that is if Dunlap or Andries or Olsen goes down, well, John Michael Schmitz is coming into the game, but he's going in at center. Like, if Connor Olsen gets hurt, he's the replacement. If Dunlap gets hurt, Schmitz comes in and Olsen slides out. If Andries gets hurt, Olsen slides out, Schmitz comes in. And that's where, you know, yes and no on the depth chart. So I do anticipate that you're going to see that mix again. I know that Minnesota, and I asked PJ Fleck about it, I asked Kirk Schrock about it. Again, their exact thoughts verbatim are on Gopher Illustrated for free. Yes, for free. You can see what they said about the offensive line and John Michael Schmitz. But paraphrasing, it's along the lines of this kid gives it his all. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got a lot of freaking toughness. And I think that's exactly what Derek Burns talked about on our breakdown was, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but dang it, doesn't he just bust his tail out there. And so as Minnesota tries to incorporate more outside zone.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, with Curtis Dunlap out of the game per se, instead of, you know, 360 trying to get into open space, if you have 300 at center and just 310 at right guard, then maybe things can get a little bit more, you know, just a little bit more efficient in the running game there. So I do anticipate you're going to see John Michael Schmitz back into the game. And like I said, I think you're going to see depth chart wise, Rodney Smith still going to be, I think, the primary ball carrier. But I do think you're going to see Shannon Brooks and Mo Ibrahim factor in more, probably somewhere in that 7 to 10 touch range as well.
All right, let's talk a little bit about when the Gophers are on offense. Illinois, you know, if you look at statistically the average, they're only giving up 25.5 points per game. But that's a little deceiving because they only gave up three points against the Zips of Akron. Otherwise, throughout the season, they've given up 23, 31, and 38 points, respectively, to their other opponents, being UConn, Eastern. Oh, goodness, this is Eastern Michigan? No, I don't even know. Nebraska. I don't know the abbreviation of EMU.
It is Eastern Michigan.
Okay, Eastern Michigan University. Okay, I was just taking a stab in the dark there. Okay, but in terms of yards allowed, they're giving up 407 yards a game, 261.8 through the air, 146 on the ground. So, you know, they're, in terms of their porousness on defense, they're fairly balanced. You know, defense hasn't been their strong suit. They come into this game 2-2. You know, they gave up, they had a back and forth game with Nebraska in their last game, on the 21st, a really high scoring affair, 42-38. I expect this one to probably be a high scoring affair, but what do you expect to see when the Gophers are on offense?
You know, before we get into it offensively, Luke, I want to play a little game with you. Well, I want to get into Minnesota's offense a little bit, just looking at where they're at through four games. And what I mean by that is I want to play a little bit of how long has it been? All right. So looking at these things you need to know from Ryan Tibbetts of Gopher Sports, does a great job with it. I want to make sure that I give him proper credit, considering apparently I need to do things like that, or the media department kind of throws a tizzy.
Cite your sources. Don't you know? This is like, there's an official citing of notes, sources.
Trust me, there's a lot more going behind the scenes. But that's here nor there. So Minnesota has won four straight one-possession games to start the season, becoming the first team to do so since what year?
Well, I'll go with 1931.
1985, Minnesota was the first team to win four straight one-possession games since the Penn State team in 1985. Minnesota is 4-0 for the first time since when, Luke?
Do I get, like, points for this if I get anything right? Or, like, what am I playing for here?
You're playing for pride. That's all we're all playing for at the end of the day, is our pride, Luke.
All right, pride. 4-0 for the first time since 2000.
This decade.
2013.
Dang,
so close.
Minnesota is averaging 34.75 points per game. The last time Minnesota averaged that many points in a game was what year?
Wait, through the four games or through the entire season?
Through the entire season.
Oh,
so Minnesota's averaging nearly 35 points a game. The last time they did that and sustained it throughout the course of an entire season was what year?
I think that was the year that Demetrius Douglas' dad probably played. So somewhere in the Jim Wacker era, 88?
2005. So close yet so far.
I had no idea.
Oh, this is fantastic. I'm so glad we're doing this. The final one. Is Minnesota's all-time record is 699, 522, and 44, which means their next one will be the 700th in school history, okay? You with me so far?
Yeah.
All right, Flex record so far is 16-13, which is the best 4A coach in school history since when? Flex 16-13 record through 29 games. You just mentioned his name.
Jim Wacker.
Nope. I just want to throw you off. There was Murray
Warmath. Oh, come on. Here,
1944. I just like having some fun with.
I know I'm getting a lot. I'm going to get a lot of hate for my lack of knowledge. I just want to put on the record that when Gopher Sports rolled out the like caribou question at basketball games, I won the first two, and then the gal saw me the second time to get my $50 caribou card, and she was like, "You again? This wasn't supposed to happen." Like, she legit was super confused, and I was like, "Thank you, I'll take my caribou card now," for a guy who doesn't drink coffee, but that's not here nor there.
I know. All right, so let's get into this Illinois defense, where their last game, they're coming off a bye week, which I can tell you Kirk Shiraka not thrilled about, but that's the reality of it. And you look at what happened in their last game against Nebraska. Nebraska ran up 674 yards of total offense. But the interesting part about it, Luke, is that game didn't go into overtime. And on those 674 yards, Nebraska's offense ran 98 plays. That is the highest amount of plays I think I've ever heard of in a regulation game, where there's no overtime, no double overtime, no triple overtime. 98 plays for the Nebraska offense, 674 yards of total offense. That only comes out to a very, very nice 6.9 yards per play. So while on the surface you're looking at it, you're like, wow, 674 yards of total offense, Jiminy Bupkis. I mean, that's a lot. Well, it is, but you also have to give the context that it's only 6.9 yards per play. Now, that's still a lot. I mean, you're going to get a first down on two downs there, but this is an Illinois defense that hasn't been particularly good all season. This is an Illinois defense that has really struggled of late, and that's why they've lost their last two games, one to an Eastern Michigan team at home. And I think maybe my favorite stat to throw at you, Luke, is Eastern Michigan has more Big Ten wins since 2007 than Illinois. And Eastern Michigan has played a total of three Big Ten games.
Ouch.
They've won all three, but it is still more than Illinois has. Now, that being said, Minnesota's one of them. So that probably can't happen again if that stat's going to remain true, and everybody here listening to this wants Minnesota to go 5-0. But it's the Illinois defense that has really struggled. That's why they lost to Eastern Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they lose to Nebraska at home after holding a double-digit point lead. And so how do you attack them? Well, let's look at the last three games for this Illinois defense. They have given up to a UConn team, which is arguably the worst team in college football at a Division I level. Like, NDSU, if they played them, I think would win by, oh boy, on a neutral field, 14, 17 points. I mean, this is a very bad FBS team, especially a Power 5 team. UConn's quarterback threw 21 of 31 for 275 yards. Not great. Now, Illinois won that game on the road, 31-23, but even still. Then you look at Eastern Michigan's quarterback. He goes 23 of 36 for 316 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. And then their last game against Adrian Martinez. Adrian Martinez went 22 of 34 for 328 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions. So in their last three games, quarterbacks are averaging, so UConn, Eastern Michigan, and Nebraska are averaging over 300 yards per game with a touchdown to interception ratio of 6-2, and they're completing 65% of their passes. So, on paper, Luke, what does that tell you?
Well, actually, what that tells me is I expect at least 100% from Tanner Morgan.
Rip him. It's
anything,
unacceptable.
Anything
frankly,
less
it's
is totally, totally unacceptable.
That's the larger point here.
You got to change your best, right?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
He's got to change his best. And if he's not, we're just going to rip him. And I really hope that the sarcasm and people, this just isn't going over their head. So, what this tells you is Minnesota's passing offense, which was white hot last week, which has really been going here essentially throughout the non-conference, should have another plus matchup. Now, I asked Tyler Johnson about it today. It was, what have you seen from the Illinois defensive backs? And he actually thinks they're particularly pretty good. They're long, they're athletic, they're physical. But how much of that is him saying that, and how much of that is the way Minnesota is going to attack this Lovie Smith cover two defense? So on paper, I mean, this stacks to be a game where Minnesota could attack them through the air, considering that on the ground, for the most part, Illinois has been okay. Now, I say that for the most part because against Nebraska in their first Big Ten game, Nebraska running backs went for 223 yards and three rushing touchdowns on 5.4 yards per carry. Now, we'll see how Minnesota's offensive line does against Illinois' front seven. But Luke, you mentioned it. I think this game's going to have quite a bit of points in it. And so whether it's on the ground, where I think Minnesota's going to be able to rotate more backs in, keep their legs fresher for the second half, or whether it's through the air, of which everyone here listening knows, Minnesota's passing offense and the way that Minnesota schemed Purdue correctly last week and the way that Tanner Morgan and the receivers executed that, you have to feel pretty good about where Minnesota's offense is at. And we've talked about how Minnesota's averaging 35 points a game so far this season. And I believe under Tanner Morgan, they're averaging over 30 points a game. Well, if you're going to score over 30 points a game in a Big Ten game, you're going to have a really good shot to win it. I think it's ultimately going to come down to that defense, Luke.
All right, so before we talk about the defense, let's talk quickly about the Goal Line Club. They have their tailgates going on. This is a great time of year to talk about this tailgate, because you know what's great about this tailgate, Ryan? It's for people like me that aren't terribly interested in being in a cold weather environment while watching the game and while tailgating. There is an indoor option, right? The rain might be coming this week. It's getting colder, etc. It's a great opportunity. Not only that, is it a great opportunity there. We've talked about the drinks. We've talked about the food. It's all great, right? But for the Nebraska tailgate, did you know that there's going to be a trophy on hand? Do you know what trophy I might be speaking of?
I think I've heard of it before, but for folks who haven't, Luke, do you want to enlighten them?
It's the $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy. And by the way, both schools have now kind of teamed up to raise money specifically around this trophy, because you know what? The schools don't actually recognize it. So groups have gotten together. They started the brokenchair.com donation site where you can donate. Proceeds are going to go to the U of M Masonic Children's Hospital. They'll go to Team Jack as well for Nebraska. It's kind of a competition. Over the last few years, they've raised $18,600 that have gone to respective charities. It's a great thing that's happened out of this internet trophy, right?
Yes.
If you give an online donation, you know, that is all tax deductible, etc. Basically what I'm trying to say is, in addition to going to the Goal Line Club tailgate, which you have all that great stuff, right? Lovey 5 to save $5 for the Illinois game, popcorn 5 for Nebraska. But if you go to the Nebraska tailgate, you will get a chance to take a photo with that trophy. And you don't have to try to walk around to all the tailgates and find the trophy. You can just be there, meet the trophy, take your picture, maybe even take your Christmas picture. I'm not exactly sure what affinity you have for this trophy. Quite frankly, it's my favorite. I know that Reddit, the college football subreddit, it is by far their favorite trophy. So it's a great opportunity. In addition, lazy tailgating, that's the kind of tailgating I like to do. Goalineclub.org, Lovey 5, Popcorn 5, save you $5 if you're not a member.
And if you want to learn more about the Broken Chair Trophy and how donating to their cause will go, as Luke said, to the Children's Hospital here, you can go to brokenchairtrophy.com to learn more. It's going to a great cause. And so if you're going to donate some money as the holidays get closer here, I think you should check it out at brokenchairtrophy.com.
All right, Ryan. So when the Gophers are on defense, I think before we really start this, dude, I remember double nickel. It wasn't good.
It wasn't great. And what Luke's referencing there is the last time these two teams played, Illinois and Champaign put up a 55 spot on that Rob Smith defense and ultimately got Rob Smith fired, which thank the heavens for that, and that era is over. Now, the Joe Rossi era has been up and down. We saw the ups at the end of the year, and you've seen the struggles at times here during the first four games of the year. Now, I will say that the special teams group hasn't helped out, and we'll get to that a little bit later, the defense or necessarily the offense at all much, put them in some tough spots and some short fields. But
I've been critical of Rossi, and I'll say this year there probably have been more ups this year than I was expecting. I was expecting more downs. Right.
Sure. I mean, you look at, you know, at the end of the day, it's one possession victories for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But that same breath, it's going to be my biggest key to this game is going to be limit big plays. And that's something they've done ultimately very successfully throughout the entire year defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I can think of a play over 40 yards that has gone for anything more than 35, 40 yards. There hasn't been these long touchdowns against this defense. Now, ultimately, it's going to happen. I mean, you're talking about a Big Ten schedule where there's going to be some pretty good players, including one by the name of Reggie Corbin. Now, if you remember, Luke, four plays into the Gophers at Illinois game last year for the Illini offense, they already had two different 72-yard touchdowns.
Yes.
So that was something that Rossi brought up today, something he talked about, and how they need to be much more aggressive in the front seven. And what he means by that is they need to be able to get off blocks and shed blocks, which, hooray for that. We're here talking about it. We talked about it on the breakdown, something that they need to improve upon, and they're trying to go out and do that. Now, it's something to say it, and it's another to put it into action. Mm-hmm. But Reggie Corbin is a very, very talented running back. He's, for my money, I think he's up there in the top five or six backs in this league. And you need to be able to bring him down because he is absolutely capable of breaking a big play. And he's had back-to-back 100-yard games. He had a long run against Nebraska for a touchdown. And it's going to be about making sure that their running game doesn't get going. You just can't let it happen because, I mean, they are more capable through the air than they were last year. Folks will remember A.J. Bush was their quarterback last year, wasn't exactly going to set the world on fire with his arm. Well, now they have a new guy that was another Michigan transfer, just like Benjamin St. Juice was from Minnesota. Brandon Peters is the quarterback for the Fighting Illini. Now, he is much more consistent, I would say, than A.J. Bush was. He's much more of what Rod Smith is looking for in that offense. And Rod Smith, for the most part, has had that offense playing particularly well. I believe that Illinois has scored 30 or more points in every single game this year.
Yeah,
so they're talking about,
they're actually averaging 35.5, which is pretty impressive. And like as you mentioned, they've run the ball an incredible amount, averaging 181 yards on the ground and 200 through the air.
Now they, I would, as much flack as people around Minnesota and around the Big Ten country give Minnesota's schedule, how soft it is. Akron is terrible, their first win. UConn, I mentioned it, is arguably the worst team in college football at a Division I Power 5 level. And then the two teams that had a pulse, they lost. Now, not exactly on the offense when the offense scores a combined 34 on average between those two games, but they haven't exactly played a lot of tough competition. Mm-hmm. But that being said, they did put up 38 points on Nebraska. Now, they also got outgained by 300 yards where Nebraska just had so many issues fumbling and different things like that. But this is a very competent Illinois offense, and I think it's the best offensive line that Minnesota's defensive line has seen all year, particularly their center. I know that Fleck and Shiraka have came out and said, this guy's really good. He's really athletic. He's really physical. And so then it comes down to the matchups where – you're going to see a lot of Mike Adu Treadway. You're going to see a lot of Sam Renner matched up on this young man. And can Minnesota get off blocks? Can they maintain their gap integrity? Can they try to make sure that they don't have these gigantic holes for Reggie Corbin to run through, where as much as I enjoy watching Jordan Howden and Antoine Winfield in space tackle, because I think for the most part they've been pretty good, Reggie Corbin is also pretty good, and he's going to win one of those battles. As much as I would like to think four out of five times Winfield or Howden right now, the way that they're playing, are going to make that tackle, it's that one time where if they miss that, it's 72 the other way. So Minnesota's got to make sure that they can stop the run before they can try to attack things through their passing.
So let's not mistake the fact too that I don't love the fact, I don't love this matchup is probably what I'm trying to search for.
In terms of
offensively, you know, from a style perspective where, you know, they are run first, right? With some really athletic backs and mm-hmm. a pretty athletic line. Like it just kind of scares me a little bit in terms of they might be able to put up big numbers on this defense. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Gopher defense is going to dictate the game. Hopefully the offense continues its hot streak. But, you know, at a certain point, this just doesn't feel like a great matchup for the Gophers.
Yeah, I mean, I can get that. I can get behind that. Now, you'll remember last year, what really did Minnesota in was the motion.
Yeah.
It would be the motion across, and the linebackers didn't exactly know who had who.
It's all that window dressing, similar to like
what. It is all the window dressing.
It's like what South Dakota State, yeah.
Exactly. You saw South Dakota State exploit that. Now, I think Minnesota's done better with that. But that being said, this is still a matchup to where I agree with Luke. I think both offenses are ahead of the defenses they're going to be going against. There's competent skill position players on both sides, and it's ultimately going to come down to which defense can get more stops. Now, I'd like to think Minnesota, the way that the team is playing overall. But Illinois is also coming off a bye week, and that's something that both Rossi and Shiraka talked about, how they really didn't like that and how they had an extra week to kind of scheme for Minnesota. Because, I mean, you look at – I was talking with Jeremy Warner, who does a fantastic job for our Illinois 24/7 site, the Illini Inquirer, and Lovey's on the hot seat. There's no really getting around it. And we were talking, and I was like, well, how many games do you think Lovey has to win? And kind of the answer he gave me is some people think 5, some people think 6. All right, well, let's look at the Illinois remaining schedule for their 8 games. They're 2-2 right now. They have Minnesota on the road this week. Then they go home to face the 19th-ranked Michigan team. Then they get Wisconsin at home. They get Purdue on the road, Rutgers, Michigan State, Iowa, and Northwestern. I mean, if you're going to win 3 games there, one of them has to be Minnesota on paper. I think you could also kind of say Rutgers and Purdue and Northwestern potentially, but you still have 4 ranked teams other than Minnesota. And if Lovey's going to keep his job, he's got to win this game this weekend. And I can't stress that enough, because I think you're going to see some different things thrown against Minnesota's offense and Minnesota's defense. This is a very important game for Illinois if they're going to keep their job. Mm-hmm. When your job is on the line, I think you coach a little bit differently and kind of throw the entire playbook at your opponent. Now, how does Minnesota adapt? How do they respond? I think that's going to be a very, very important thing to kind of look at as that game unfolds Saturday at 2:30.
All right. So when we look at this game on Saturday, this is a 2:30 kickoff. It will be televised on BTN. If we're looking at the betting numbers, the Gophers currently, from what I can see, are 14-point favorites, -600 on the money line, +450 for Illinois on the money line. The over under of 56.5. How do you feel about that over under, real quick, Ryan?
I believe last I saw it, it was at 59, but I'm going to double check that because I know it opened at 55. And wow, so it got all the way up to 59.5. Now it's back down to 57. Which,
okay. And I'm seeing 56.5. So yeah, I mean, that's wild.
So Vegas thinks this is going to be like a 35-21 game.
Right.
Which they have more faith. They have more faith in the Gopher defense than I ultimately will. Yeah. But what do you think?
No, yeah, I think that's interesting. Just to close out the betting stuff, to answer your question in more detail, I probably side with you that Vegas has a little bit more faith in the Gopher defense. I say just because I think that Illinois is not a great matchup for them. I have a ton of respect for their running game, and I got to see the Gophers stop a running game. Like, the fact that Purdue was able to get what they got after being basically having a rushing offense that was inept, right? I got to see that. I know that they're trying to scheme for Rondale Moore, but
sure. Yeah.
Closing out the betting stuff, the Gophers on the season are 1-2-1 against the spread. Illinois is 2-2. So getting to weather real quick, this game again at 2:30. Right now they're predicting light rain. Deer hunting Bernsey tells me, what do they call you? Bow hunting Bernsey, sorry.
Bow hunting Bernsey, yeah.
Bow hunting Bernsey tells me that the weather can change in Minnesota. At least from a model perspective, quite drastically this far out.
You can't look at the weather until like 24, 36 hours out. Like, you can get general patterns like,
right,
is it going to be hot or is it going to be cold? But if you're trying to look at precipitation up until about 24 hours out, it's really tough to do. Trust me, someone who spends a lot more time than most looking at weather models trying to figure out, you know, when's a good time to be in a tree, when's a good time to be in a duck blind, am I going to be able to get out on the lake with this wind to go catch some walleye? It's not incredibly reliable, but general thought, Luke, is 60 degrees and potentially raining.
Potentially like some light rain. It's like a 45% chance. It started at the beginning of the game. Looks like it would wane off. Yeah. High of 59 at kickoff, probably getting down to going up to like low 60s, back down to 59 by the end of the game. Looking like 13 miles an hour wind. So wind might be a little bit of a factor. Dew point's going to drop throughout the game. I don't know. Decent weather for football. Hopefully the rain holds off.
Yeah. You know, certainly let's hope so, because 60 degrees in October in Minnesota,
that's pretty good.
This is where I thrive.
Pretty good weather for you.
I'm talking to you right now and it's 48 degrees
yes.
right now. And I have all my windows open. It's a balmy 59 degrees in the house. And I might have to, maybe close the windows tonight, but it's a nice sleeping temperature. Trust me. Someone who runs hot all the time.
Yes.
It's a nice sleeping temperature.
All right. So let's get to your keys of the game. Your keys of the game are sponsored by Insurance by Burns. Give us a word from him.
Yeah. The Burns Insurance Agency, as we've talked about before, knows that the odds of being able to save every client, every single one of them, thousands of dollars, when you get a free estimate or a free quote with them, it's not incredibly likely, but that's what happened. And that's what happened again this week, where the Burns Insurance Agency had a client come in. They wanted a free quote, and the Burns Insurance Agency was able to save them $900 on their home insurance, all by just asking, hey, can you take a second look? Am I paying too much? And is my coverage going to actually cover me if something were to happen? They took a look at it. They found the best price because they're an independent insurance agency, and they ended up saving them $900 per year. Now, if you just don't like saving thousands of dollars or $900 per year, well, I don't really think I can help you very much. But if you want somebody to take a second look at your home, your auto, your commercial, your work comp, whatever it may be here in the state of Minnesota, they're in downtown Oakdale. They are Gopher fans. They want to help other Gopher fans. So if you want to have someone take a second look, go to insurancebyburns.com. You can call, email, whatever you want to do. It is a free estimate, folks. If you don't like saving a lot of money potentially, this isn't for you. But if you want to learn more, go to insurancebyburns.com.
All right, so let's get to these keys to the game. Again, the Gophers are 4-0. They're looking to go 5-0, I think, since the first time since, what did you say, Ryan?
4-0 for the first time, 5-0, excuse me. They're looking to go 5-0 for the first time since 2004.
All right, so let's get to those keys to the game.
Yeah, so the first one, I talked about it just recently here, is don't let Reggie Corbin in that running game get going, because four plays into last year's game, the Illini offense in their first four plays already had two different 72-yard touchdowns, which if your new defensive coordinator, Joe Rossi, stopping the run has to be your number one priority. Illini offensive coordinator Rod Smith has been able to find more offensive balance this year than he did a year ago. And why was that? It's because he's got Brandon Peters as his quarterback now. But the running game for the Fighting Illini offense is still their catalyst. It's still the entire thing that drives their offense, and it starts with Corbin. Because after two games to start his season, sounds like he was a little bit nicked up. Reggie Corbin has rushed for over 130 yards in his last two games, averaging 7 yards per carry in those games. And against Minnesota last year, Reggie Corbin went for 213 yards on 13 carries as the Fighting Illini got Rob Smith fired with their 430 total rushing yards. Now, with Corbin, he's a dynamic player, which is one of the reasons he has to be the focal point of Joe Rossi's defensive game plan. And for Minnesota to be able to stop the run, the front seven has to do a much better job of two things, Luke: tackling and shedding blocks. Because when teams have used a lot of motion against this Gopher defense in recent memory, things haven't gone well. It's performances like what Minnesota saw against Illinois and Maryland come to mind. But it's going to be used again on Saturday. The question is how much for Illinois coming off a bye. But also the way Minnesota tackled last week, it has to improve on Saturday or else this is going to be a long day. Whether it's Reggie Corbin or their number two back, Dre Brown, if you miss that initial tackle this week, it's going to be going a long way. And I also mentioned how I believe the Illini offensive line is the best offensive line that Minnesota has faced thus far in 2019, which means those solo tackles are going to be at a premium. Players like Thomas Barber, Kamal Martin, they're going to have to shed blocks at the line of scrimmage. So are those defensive linemen. And then Antoine Winfield and Jordan Howden are going to have to make some key plays in space to limit these big plays. If you can make that tackle for 6 yards, great. Because if you don't, it's going 76. Shedding blocks, especially at the line of scrimmage, for Barber, Martin, it's got to be a point of emphasis this week, and it sounds like it is from what Joe Rossi has said. The linebackers struggled to maintain their gaps last week while also getting manhandled by the offensive linemen at the second level, and that cannot happen at home this week. Same goes for the interior of Minnesota's defensive line. You have to maintain your gap. You can't get pushed out of it. You can't get too far upfield and allow Reggie Corbin to get ahead of steam to the second level. Because for as good as Winfield and Howden have been, and I think they've been pretty good in the open field making tackles, Corbin is an elusive back, and limiting those opportunities to just a handful instead of frequently is going to be vital for this Gopher defense as they attempt to solve their run defense woes. Now, Luke, My number two key to the game is continuing to find an offensive balance. Now, one of the big reasons that Minnesota was able to generate so many explosive plays against Purdue was their willingness to switch it up on early downs. Because in their three non-conference games, and a credit to Daniel House for pointing some of these out to me, and then he ultimately put these on Twitter, was in Minnesota's three non-conference games, Minnesota's running rate on first down was around 78%. So Minnesota was essentially running the ball four out of five times, three out of four times on first down. Well, that changed in West Lafayette last week because Minnesota ran the ball and passed the ball at a 50% clip on first down. It means they ran the ball 13 times and they passed the ball 13 times on first down. That's a definite change. You'd be shocked to learn that because they incorporated the pass more, and then their yards per play increased on first down as well. On first down in the non-conference, Minnesota averaged 3.75 yards per play. Against Purdue on first down last week, it was nearly 12 yards per play. So it's no surprise that Purdue's defense on first down was so dead set on stopping the run because that's what Minnesota had shown. Yet Kirk Ciarrocca adjusted his tendencies and Minnesota was able to exploit Purdue's defense from that. These little tendency breakers need to continue on Saturday. Now, I expect the Illini defense to be ready for these new tendencies and wrinkles, but it's on Ciarrocca again to adapt and adjust as he sees what Lovie Smith's defense has for him. Now, from what PJ Fleck said on Monday, I do expect to see more Shannon Brooks and Mo Ibrahim factoring in this week. I mentioned how Ibrahim only played one snap last week as he continues to work back from this mysterious, undisclosed injury that has essentially kept him out 3 weeks now. Fleck also mentions he's going to be more of a factor this weekend. I'm kind of not entirely sure what to do with that information because, I mean, I hope he's back because he's a really good running back, but I also don't want him back until he's 100%, because if he's not 100%, that means that a guy like Shannon Brooks, who was a little bit too amped for his 2019 debut last week, sounds like he's settled down a little bit and he's going to be getting more touches this week. So I wouldn't bring Ibrahim back until he's 100%. Because then you can just give Shannon Brooks more touches and get Ibrahim 100%. But you're going to see the running game continue to evolve as Minnesota implements John Michael Schmitz into the rotation. He brings toughness and a little bit of agility to Minnesota's interior, which allows them to get more east-west and a little bit in the more efficiently, I'll say, in their outside zone running scheme. Now, they're not running it 15, 20 plays a game, but if they're going to go from two or three in the non-conference per game to what we saw last week in that 6 to 8 range, you're going to be able to switch things up against an Illini defense that, as I mentioned, against Nebraska gave up over 5 yards per carry. Through the air, though, is where I truly believe Minnesota can exploit that Illini defense. I mentioned earlier in their last three games, Illinois' defense against UConn, Eastern Michigan, and Nebraska has given up over 300 yards per game, multiple passing touchdowns on average, and a 65% completion percentage. Now, Minnesota's coming off a legitimate and literal historic passing game performance, so you can see why I expect Minnesota to be able to move the ball on Saturday, Luke. And then finally, your side, the catastrophic special teams errors in the fourth quarter just have to stop. I'm so sick and tired of these special team kerfuffles. They need to cease to exist. They just do. The last two games alone have changed the complexion of both games. Against Georgia Southern, we've talked about this before. I'm talking about it again. Minnesota's got the ball 6 minutes left. They're up 8. Michael Lance is on to attempt a 36-yard field goal. If he makes it, it's a two-possession lead, and you essentially ice the game because a two-possession lead against that Georgia Southern offense at the time, if you remember back, they couldn't move the ball in the second half. Well, what happens? The field goal isn't good. Why not? Because it was blocked and returned for a touchdown. So instead of a two-possession lead with 6 minutes left, it's a two-point lead, and Georgia Southern's on to try and tie the game. Well, what happens later? Luke, Minnesota then drives 94 yards to retake the lead, and their kicker kicks it out of bounds, giving the Eagles fantastic field position. Okay? Well, in their most recent game, the Boilermakers score with 6 minutes left to cut the lead to 14. On suing kickoff, Hans' team is on there, bounces off the face mask right into the arms of Purdue, which gives Purdue new life, which they capitalize on. And instead of it being a 14-point lead that Minnesota takes over the ball at midfield with 6 minutes left with an offense that literally couldn't be stopped all day. It's now a one possession game. The last time the last time the offense was on the field, they had a 21-point lead. Now the next time they step onto it, you're up one score with 4 minutes left and you have to go ice the game. It's just these silly second half special teams mistakes that have cost the Gophers the comfort of two possession wins. And Rob Wenger has to stop the bleeding on Saturday.
All right, Ryan. So the beauty of editing is we get to edit out the part where my wife walked down and my son had had a little episode. He's apparently sick. So NBD, cute. No big deal.
And the eyelashes.
Yeah.
Now, the question for everyone listening at home is, how does that happen? And was it on Luke or the young man?
It was absolutely on the young man. When she walked down, she's holding him. She looks petrified because, you know, the poor guy is only 6 months old at this point. So we're really faking it as we go, right? We're trying to figure out what the heck we're doing as parents. And she looks petrified. He looks at me covered in puke and just smiles. Like, he's like, yeah, I want to hear your prediction too, Dad.
Just the beauty of children.
I did edit this all out, but you know, whatever, we'll get to predictions. Ryan, predictions. I'm going to give you mine real quick. This is really informed by, you know, an episode of parenting here. But I got the Gophers 38-24 on the day.
38-24. So you're going to take the over and you're going to take a push.
I did take the over. You know, like last week, at this point, I don't really trust either defense, right? And until there's a proof point, I'm going to continue to take the over.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the 50, like we said, Vegas thinks this is going to be a 35-21 game. I think there's going to be a lot more points than that, and that's where I'm going to have Minnesota winning this game. But between Illinois' running game and Minnesota's passing game, like I said, there's going to be a lot of the scoreboard at TCF Bank Stadium is going to get a workout in. The offensive line for the Fighting Illini is the best that Minnesota's gone against, while the defense for the Fighting Illini as well can't find a way to get off the field. That's how you get 98 plays in a regulation game run against you. You literally and figuratively, spiritually and socially, cannot get off the field. Ultimately, Minnesota finds enough ways to get stops in the second half, and the offense continues to hum right along with Tanner Morgan having another big day. The Gophers start 5-0 for the first time since 2004 with a 38-28 win at home, setting up the vaunted black shirts of Nebraska for next week.
All right, so we want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank our sponsors, Insurance by Burns, the Goal Line Club. We appreciate their contributions to the effort in making this podcast happen. We want to thank all of you for listening. Again, if you enjoy the show, please find it on whatever podcast aggregator and comment and rate it. It is a good way for people to find it. And, you know, maybe this week, share with one of your Gopher friends that maybe doesn't know about the podcast. That might be a good way to, spread the love. We appreciate everybody who listens. It's a lot of fun to do. It's a lot of fun to interact with you, the listeners. Again, thank you so much, and go Gophers.